This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Professor Larry Sabatow of the University of Virginia, where he teaches political science and directs UVA's Center for Politics. Larry's most recent book is The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House, which is now available in paperback. But most eyes now are on the midterm elections for 2010, and we already have a slew of high-profile retirements that could impact the landscape of Congress come next year. And Larry, first of all, Happy New Year and welcome back.
Thank you so much, Greg. Happy New Year to you, too. I hope it's a good one.
It's so far, so good. And it's definitely been a year of big stories already in just the first few days. And Larry, one of the things we saw within really a 24-hour span is two prominent Democratic senators saying they are not going to be on the ballot for re-election this year, Byron Dorgan in North Dakota, Chris Dodd in Connecticut. Larry, in a situation like this, where it would appear right now, and you've suggested the same, that it's following November's elections, the momentum going into this year is probably with the Republicans right now. And if people are generally fed up with the way the majority party is ruling, will they have a different response if the incumbent's not on the ballot, or will they just look at the party and say the problem's with the party?
Well, it really depends on the state and the district. You know, we just talked about Connecticut, and that's actually one place where a Democratic retirement helped the Democrats. I think in most places, the retirements end up helping the Republicans to one degree or another. And in some places, it's just too early to say. January is retirement month. This is when we get most of the indications from those who have chosen to step aside that they will be stepping aside. And it takes a few months for the parties to shake things out and for it to become obvious, in many of the districts at least, who's going to be the party nominee. My sense of it is that this is a Republican year. It ought to be, because it's a midterm year and almost all of the midterm elections favor the out-of-power party. The one thing we don't know in January is how Republican it will be in November. My own website, The Crystal Ball, in January has Republicans picking up about 27 House seats. They need 40 to take control of the House. It has them picking up 3 to 4 Senate seats. Of course, they would need to net 11 seats to take control of the Senate, which is a bridge too far. And even many Republican analysts privately will say they have very little chance of doing that. But take the Senate, for example. If you bring Democrats 3 or 4 seats below the 60-seat margin that they have right now, they're unable to shut off most of the filibusters. And that gives the minority party significant power in the Senate. So Republicans don't have to take over the Senate to be in a much more advantageous position come January 2011.
Larry, how scared do you think Democrats are right now? And I ask that because at the end of this past week, in the days following the Dodd and Dorgan announcements, I saw an interview with Steny Hoyer, the House Majority Leader, I believe it was on NBC, where he said that any result short of Republicans regaining the majority would be a success for Democrats next year. So yeah. What kind of expectations game do you expect here?
Well, there's a classic example of it. You know, you set the bar very low, and you basically say if we can just win this election by one vote, even though we're ahead by 20 points, if we win it by one vote, it's an incredible, historic victory. You know, it's the games politicians play, and I think we're all used to that. Look, Democrats know it's going to be a tough year. They've figured that out. Politicians may be guilty of many sins, but let me tell you something. They're very talented when it comes to psyching out an election year, sniffing out what is likely to be the voter trend. And that's why some of these Democrats have moved along. Governor Bill Ritter of Colorado, for example, just a one-term governor. No one thought he would be retiring, and he did. Byron Dorgan shocked everybody in North Dakota. This longtime senator, he's been in Congress in one house or the other since 1980, and he was expected to fight for another term. He potentially had a very strong opponent in the governor of North Dakota, but he had been expected to, you know, at least have a decent showing and maybe win as an incumbent, and now that seat is going to the Republicans almost certainly.
Larry, most of the discussion in recent weeks, and especially since the November election, which you and I covered pretty extensively, has been on Congress. But another huge issue on the ballot will be governor's races, about 36 of those on the ballot, control of state legislatures and so forth. And with the census coming up later this year, those could be pretty pivotal. How critical are those? What is that looking like in your crystal ball?
Here's a real surprise for people. There's so much turnover this year because we have 37 races. 21 of the 37 races have no incumbent running because of term limits or because governors like Ritter in Colorado decided not to run again. And I think you're going to have three or four incumbents who are going to be defeated either in primaries or the general. Well, what does that mean? It means that in a single year, half of the states will have a new governor. That's remarkable. And then you add in the two, Virginia and New Jersey, who are just now getting the governors elected in November. So you've got a solid majority with new governors, and you're going to have well over 5,000 state senate and state house seats, state legislative seats, decided in November as well. These are the people, the new governors and the new state legislators, who will be redrawing the lines of all the U.S. House districts, except in the states where you only have one member, and will be redrawing all of the state Senate and state House districts in those 50 state legislatures come 2011. Well, as we all know from past practice, when you redraw the lines, you set politics to a certain degree in one party's direction or the other for 10 full years until the next census. So this really is a big, big election. And the biggest part of it may not be the Senate or the U.S. House of Representatives. It may be those state governorship elections, 37 of the 50 states, and the over 5,000 state legislative posts that are up.
Larry, back to the congressional situation, and this may be a question that's impossible to answer, but given your understanding of history and how this year's midterm election at this point seems to be shaping up in a historical way, do you expect a large number of subsequent retirements, or is it too hard to say?
You never know. You don't know what's going through their minds. There'll certainly be a few more because this is retirement month, and we've already been shocked just in the first week plus of January. So it's obvious that there will be at least a few more. How many more? One can't say. Sometimes the momentum builds on itself, and some of the people who were on the fence say, well, if my friends A, B, C are leaving, I'm going to leave too. We'll have to wait and see. I think it's important to remember, though, that it doesn't just take open seats to have changes. You can have loads of incumbents defeated in a year. Voters have no hesitation in competitive districts when they have a real choice about replacing their incumbent if they're unhappy.
And we'll keep watching those races as well. Should be a very interesting year. Larry, we look forward to covering it with you.
Thanks so much, Greg. I'm looking forward to it.
Larry Sabatow, professor of political science at the University of Virginia, director of UVA's Center for Politics. His latest book, now available in paperback, The Year of Obama. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.